£2 in my pocket. Come on. Does anybody want £2? There you go, mate. But you've got to use it to pay it forward, okay? So you've got to do something nice for someone else. Okay, last week, Dave did a brilliant job. Two-week series, Volunteer Spirit, the spirit of a volunteer. What does that mean to us, and where do we stand with that? Dave was excellent last week, our senior leader. Just phenomenal. The guy carries a massive ministry, and he has been developing the volunteer spirit for many, many years. I've sat under that for many years. And so it's a pleasure to speak to you today. And he talked about tent makers and salt shakers, and that in every season of life, you should be the seasoning. Don't know if you were here, if you remember that, you can listen to it on the podcast. Wherever you are, at home, at work, you are here to be the salt of the earth, which is something that Jesus taught us to do, to bring out the God flavors in the world. I'm going to continue that in the book of John, chapter 10. So if you brought your Bibles with you, you can turn right there with me. That's John, chapter 10. The Bible has two halves, Old Testament, New Testament, and it's right at the start, the book of John, and it's one of the books that talks a lot about Jesus, about his life, and who he is and what he did. And the book of John is written by a guy called Kevin, that's right, it wasn't Keith this time, no. Written by a guy called John. I'm going to read it to you, John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18, okay? John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. It'll be on screen if you don't have your Bibles or you didn't turn to it in protest. So here we go. Verse 11. This is Jesus speaking. I am the good shepherd who lays down my life as a sacrifice for the sheep. Wow. If you're a believer in here, if you've already made that decision, that's the kind of leader you follow. Not just a normal shepherd, a good shepherd that lays his life down as a sacrifice for you. But the worker who serves only for wages is not a real shepherd. Because he has no heart for the sheep, he'll run away, abandon them when he sees the wolf come in, and then the wolf mauls the sheep, drags them off, and scatters them. Jesus is making a distinction, a line in the sand, and he's saying there are two people that manage the flock. There are shepherds, then there are workers or hired hands in other versions of this text. Shepherds and workers. Verse 14, I alone am the good shepherd, and I know those whose hearts are mine, for they recognize me and know me. Just as my Father knows my heart, and I know my Father's heart, I am ready to give my life for the sheep. Wow. See what Jesus is doing here. If you know, spoiler alert, at the end of Jesus' life, he dies and he comes back to life. Notice he's preparing his believers. Listen, I'm just letting you know, I'm going to lay my life down. I'm the real deal here. I'm just letting you know this is what's going to happen. Verse 17, the Father has an intense love for me. Wow. Man, are you glad today that the Father has an intense love for you? I am. He has an intense love for me because I freely give my own life to raise it up again. Notice that. I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to die, but don't worry. I'm going to come back to life again. Verse 18, I surrender my own life, and no one has the power to take my life from me. I have the authority to lay it down and the power to take it back again. This is the destiny my Father has set before me. So we see Jesus distinguishing from a shepherd to a worker. And that's where we're going to sit today in that imagery. And shepherds and workers. And I'm going to tell you the difference between them. Workers are simply hired hands. They do a job. You might be a hired hand when you volunteer in a team, just coming, just doing a job. You may go to work, you know, whenever you do during the week, and you may just feel like a worker, just a hired hand turning up and doing a job. But a shepherd really cares. A shepherd really cares. And a shepherd adopts a role, not just a responsibility. So I just want to encourage you, if you're part of any of serving teams Sunday or midweek and you're a shepherd, man, thank you for fulfilling that role. Man, we need more people who just really care. And I think for us in here, I think we could also make the distinction in our scattered places, in our workplaces, in our home life, that do we adopt a role in people's lives as the shepherd, as someone who really cares, or do we just turn up and do a job? Okay, 3 points, and then we're done, and we're going to enjoy the festivities afterwards. The difference between a worker and a shepherd, number one, if you're taking notes, you're 60% more likely to get to heaven. So number one, a worker wants a wage, a shepherd wants for the sheep. A worker wants a wage, but a shepherd wants for the sheep. Verse 12 and 13, but the worker who serves only for wages, he ain't a real shepherd because he's no heart for the sheep. And he'll run away and abandon them. He's no heart. This is all about heart. We often think in our mind, when someone asks us to do something, what's in it for me? What is in it for me? Oh, Barry, can you just do some, 50 copies of this, please, by next Wednesday? Well, what's in it for me? Oh, well, I'll buy you a sandwich. Deal. I'm in. I'm done. Make it a Big Mac and I'm in. What's in it for me? I'm just going to let you know that's where my mind goes when my heart's not in it anymore. So when I feel myself turning or I feel myself getting a little bit selfish, getting a little bit like, what's it, I'm not getting what I should be getting, I'm not getting what I deserve. Literally, when someone asks me to do something, I often think, well, what's in it for me? Or I'll think, what have you done for me lately? Come on, let's just be really honest. We often think, well, what have you done for me lately? Because it was my birthday last week and you didn't get me anything. We often go to this place of, well, what's in it for me? Jesus is drawing a line in the sand and saying a worker thinks that way, but a shepherd has a different mentality. So when someone asks you for something, what do you expect in return? What generally do you, is it I scratch your back, you scratch mine, is it that kind of deal? Or is it a sense of, you're asking me to do this, and I want your success. So I'm going to say yes and I'm going to help you with it. Jesus, all the way through the New Testament, parallels and uses the imagery of a shepherd and sheep, not because they lived in North Wales at the time, but because that we were just surrounded by sheep. That was the main industry of the time. For us, it'd be different. It'd be like someone who a mobile phone outlet or a car dealership or something that we would normally see. But him, it was about sheep and shepherds. And so he talks a little bit about this in a different book in the Bible, the book of Luke. And he says in the book of Luke 6:35, Jesus says many, many very non-controversial things. Here we go. Says this, love your enemies. Wow. Okay, let's just stop there and spend a whole decade on that one because I'm still working. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Nope. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Your enemies. Man alive. I've had enough sometimes lending other people other things apart from that £2, which I want for the sheep. I struggle giving things over, not expecting anything in return. But hang on, my enemy, the dude who hates me, who keeps keying my car, who keeps doing my head and who's trolling me online, who looks at me disdainfully from across the room while no one's watching. What I am supposed to give, yeah, you need to go and buy him a drink. You need to go over there and say, hey, is there an issue? Because I like you, but I get the very subtle impression that you don't like me. What do we do in those circumstances when someone who doesn't like you, what do you do? What do you expect from them? This is what he goes on to say. Then your reward from heaven will be very great. Not a reward now, a reward later. And you'll be truly acting as children of the Most High, for He is kind. God is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. I think, in all honesty, we expect a different kind of, as shepherds, we expect a different reward. I had a student in one of our gap year programs before we started doing leadership college, a girl called Rach. And as I was sort of mentoring her with the team through the year, one big thing I was going through at the time was just secret acts of kindness, just doing things for people without them knowing. And I still do that a lot because it keeps you humble, it keeps you serving. When no one else is watching, You're doing something that matters to someone that no one will ever know. It's very Christ-like. In fact, the only reason why we know a lot of what happened in Jesus' life, because the writers pulled it out of hundreds of different people. Jesus was never big-headed in that way. And I was teaching her one thing, and I said, do lovely things in secret. Do lovely things in secret. We don't use that word in Wigan. We do cracking things in secret, you know. Do lovely things in secret. And she made me this when she left. Well, I was really angry because she cut down a tree, and I was like, save the earth, Rachel. What the? No, she didn't really. Do lovely things in secret. And it's got a little scripture on the back. A quote by Roald Dahl. It says, if you have good thoughts, they will shine out of your face like sunbeams, and you will always look lovely. Do lovely things in secret. That is a shepherd. No one knows when you have to pick up the little presents the sheep leave all over the field. No one sees that. No one sees the time you have to care for someone who's feeling sick or down. No one sees the time where you sacrificed and you gave. But is it really about being known for that? Or is it about just taking joy in the job? Just taking joy in the job. I'm enjoying sacrificing, so I'm just going to do it. You know, shepherds leave the sheep to water holes, pastures. They have like a grazing route. And they lead them back to the pen at night where they're safe in the pen. And the shepherd at the end of the day doesn't demand payment off the sheep. He doesn't look to the sheep for affirmation. He just simply sees them safe, or he sees them eating, or he sees them drinking, and just takes joy in that moment. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you see someone who is new in here just connecting with God and just standing there and saying, I'm taking joy in this moment. That is reward enough. You don't need to thank me. Thank God. Okay, number one, worker wants a wage, shepherds want for the sheep. What do you want? What do you want? For me, I just want what God wants. Okay, number two, a worker runs away, a shepherd runs toward. I got beat up in high school, and thank you for someone whoever said that pathetic aw. Thank you. I got beat up in high school. Hey, thank you. That was good, that. The first two rows. And it was... right, can I tell you what happened? What happened was... I was really hard, okay? And I was, like, really strong. I just let him win. And so, anyway, so what happened was... And my mum and dad don't know this story, so there you go, mum. And I remember we were playing football behind the sports hall. And it was about... In high school, there's only one poor lad that brings his football in, and so about 40 lads, even the 40 lads are all playing this one game of football. Anyway, so we're playing it behind the sports area, and I'm on my team with my friends, and my friends were like the geeks. Okay, I know it's hard to imagine, but we were all really geeky, and I knew it was going to go wrong when like the hard kids walked around the corner because they were bored and said, can we play? And we were all like, yeah, of course, mate. Yeah, come on. Hey, buddy. Hey, best friend. You know? And anyway, so we start playing this game, and they're just really mean, okay? They're just really tough. And so we're playing this game, and anyway, the one particular guy, a friend called Matty, who was playing, I don't know why, but the hardest guy in the year, Anthony, if you're listening online, I'm just going to say I forgive you and I've moved on with my life, clearly. He was just going after Matty, and I don't know what it was about Matty. Maybe it was like it was a specky four eyes or whatever, or maybe because he was geeky, I don't know. But anyway, so anyway, Anthony was just going at Matty's legs. And it's like watching Sunday League football, you know, and they all think they're like Messi, you know, on like the cricket fields, but they're not, they're just hacking at each other's legs. And so this one, and I was just getting really annoyed and really angry. I was like, Matty, do something, stand up for yourself, say something. And there was one particular, and I don't know what happened, I just flipped, right? And so Anthony went in or Ant as he was called by the Anthony went in and he tackles Matty and he just kind of throws him across the playground, to be honest. And so, and I thought, that's not right, that's not enough. And you know, in a blind rage, you do something that when you do it, you think, okay, God, I'm ready to meet you now. This is the end. I'm going to see you. Like Jack from Titanic, just sinking away. I could see my life moving slowly away from me. And so I remember, I thought, and so we got the ball off Matt. It was like a second. I ran to him, and I just absolutely crumpled Anthony. I said, you would have been proud of me. If there's any geeks in the room, you were about, yeah, you go, buddy. Yeah. You know. And so that was an inhaler. And you go. And so I just absolutely flatten. I mean, I just go in nastily. And so I'm kind of like, I go in and Anthony's like, and the ball just stops. And boom, 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 boom. And I'm sort of just sat up. And Anthony's lying down, and I just see him just literally, it was like, he was sat here, and it was kind of mingled up, and I just saw him go and stare at me right in the face, and I thought, oh, I'm going to die. This is the end of my life. And so he looks at me, everyone stops, you know, and like the pin drops, no one else can hear. And so Anthony sits up, and I kind of like move away, and I wish he had a cool thing like saying like, yo, in your face, you know, something like that. I stood up, and I said, I didn't mean it. Oh, pathetic. Okay, so, and I said to him, I didn't mean it. And he literally legs it towards me, and he just lays into me, and I don't even have an opportunity. I was called the flying pig in school because I played a lot of rugby, but I was quite large, a lot of puppy fat, but I was quite fast. And so you could imagine this, literally, I think at that point in his age, maybe about 13, he was about 9'2", and this little miniature flying piglet squealing away, being pounded by this guy. And I was sore, man, the next day. I struggled to stand up, and I was just limping to school, hoping that everyone would have forgotten about this. But I remember afterwards, as soon as it happened and I got the pummeling of a lifetime, he walked away like, all like, aren't I amazing kind of thing. And Matty came up to me, put his arm around me. He said, are you okay, mate? Are you okay? And I went, yeah, I'm totally fine. 100%. And he said, thank you. Thank you. And from then on, my relationship with Matty changed. And I somehow got a bit of respect from him from that. I recommend no one going through that at all. When was the last time you ran toward a fight that might not have been yours? When was it? Can you even think? And I'm not talking about the big fights. I'm talking about the little things that you just think aren't right. And I'm not okay with that being right. So I'm going to go in. I'm going to serve. I'm going to love. I'm going to shepherd those people. I'm not going to cast judgment. That's not what it's about. It's about wanting for the sheep. Yeah. In World War II, there was a strategy adopted for a period of time by the RAF, where as our guys were going over to mainland Europe and doing the bombing raids, our boys were sort of returning, they would send out planes to meet them coming back, and these planes would spot damaged aircraft or aircraft that the radar had gone, because obviously the bullets and the ricochets, and they would guide them home. And so they would stay close to them, and we would bring it, flying them over, you know, from Poland, Germany, France, over the channel, and they would bring them back to the exact airfield they need to go. And do you know what they nicknamed these planes that did that? Shepherds. These planes were called shepherds. Why? Because the planes that were coming back from the front line needed someone to guide them home. And so what these guys did, these pilots would hang back from the bombing raid. Maybe they're an older aircraft, I don't know. Maybe there was a particular reason why they were chosen. But they would hang fire so that all the frontline people on their way back, they could go and meet them. And they could pick them up and they could guide them back home. And they were called shepherds because shepherds guide. And what these shepherds would do is they would fly to the fight. They would fly to the front line in order to pick all those who were wanting to return home, guide them back to their families, and guide them back to the airfield. If you're a believer in Jesus here today, if you're not, you get away with this. But if you are, that's what you are. You are to run to the front line, wherever that is for you, it be in your work, in your office, in your home life, wherever it is, you are to go to your front line and bring people home. It's to go out there, pick people who are looking, who are searching, who want to know more, and say, follow me, I'll take you back to where you need to be, to where you need to go. Follow me. Shepherds run toward a fight. Okay. Oh, and here's the other thing. The world is changed by your example, not by your opinion. And so if something's not right, don't get on Facebook and just Facebook about it. Don't be a social justice warrior. Just be a warrior. If you don't like something, go and change it. Don't just talk about it so everyone thinks that you're doing something about it when you're not. Let's just be real. It's so easy to be a keyboard warrior and type. I remember two lads were having a fight getting all aggressive through a keyboard. So I got them in a room and I said, you need to talk to each other. And they were both silent. I mean, what's that about? Come on, lads. If you've got something to talk about it face to face. And I feel this is where shepherds can really step up, where we can not just say the right things, but we can serve the sheep. The world is changed by your example, not by your opinion. And we can all look great on Instagram, and we can all look great, and there's a place for that, and that's cool. But what the world needs is your example, not your opinion. Number three, a worker has time taken away. A shepherd gives it away freely. So here we go, verse 17 and 18 says this, the Father has an intense love for me because I freely give my own life to raise it up again. I surrender my life. No one has the power to take it from me. I have the authority to lay it down and the power to take it back. If you have a no time in your diary, if you are stressed, if you just feel like all you do is things for other people, you are giving power to someone else that you alone should have the power for. You should know your priorities. You should know what it is you're meant to do, where you're meant to go at whatever time. You know what your calling is. You know what your life is about. So you should manage that time so that you have, so you can fulfill what you're here to do. The problem comes that when you allow other people to take time from you, your life becomes someone else's. It was Gandhi that said, you cannot offend me because you don't have my permission. So you can say whatever you want about me, but I ain't giving you permission to offend me, and that's fine. And it's the same. You see, you can't take my time because you don't have my permission. If that lines up with what I think I'm here to do by God, if that lines up with what I'm here, my mission, my aim, then that's great. Let's work together. I'd love to do it. This is great. But until that point, you, the power lies in your hands. I remember I was chatting to this bloke once, and it was a number of years ago, and he had some issues with the church. And so because I was friendly, he thought I was probably easy pickings. And he kind of came to me and he said, started talking about his, you know, just smorgasbord of issues that he has. And one of them in particular was, all your church talks about is giving. That's what he said to me. He said, all your church talks about is giving. And I said, yeah, I know. Because it is. Please tell me, please show me anywhere in the scriptures where it says, don't worry about giving. Don't worry about it, it's fine. Nile will take care of itself, don't worry. That person will sort themselves out. That check will write itself, that, you know. You see, in Genesis, God gave, in the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, God gave Noah land. He gave him land. And he showed him a rainbow and said, I'm changing a different covenant now. In the book of Exodus, which is the next book along, God gave the people bread every day so they could survive. In John, in the book, for God so loved the world that he... Come on, somebody. If this church is about giving, then I'm staying because God's about giving. And whatever God is about, I'm about. So you can't stand here and tell me, oh, your church is all about giving. Well, yeah, duh, Mr. Obvious. Hey, how's that going in your life at the minute? Because that's the distinction. What's in it for me? What's if I attend here, if I do this, what's in it for me? Well, riches in heaven, that's one thing. Your reward's going to be in heaven. But is it about that anyway? Is it really about how good it makes you feel? Or is it about the life-changing impact we can have on any individual who walks through our doors? Is that reward enough? Because I don't know about you, but this church community doesn't take my time. Because I give it away already. It's already got it. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before he was about to be arrested and crucified, he said, Father, I don't think I want to do this. This isn't going to be great. I don't want to do this, Dad. If you will it, please take this cup, because I don't want to drink, because it's bitter. I don't want it. And then he stood up, and he did it anyway. No one took Jesus' life, because he gave it away freely. I surrendered my life. I alone have the power to give it away. You can't take my life. I'll give it away, because I'll get it back again. If you give your life away, you'll get it back again. Because there is a moment in time when you sacrifice your life, something within you is becoming resurrected. Something that is old and ancient beyond the start of time. It's love. Grace is being resurrected in your life. Passion. This is what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, which is a book written by a guy called Paul. I'll just read you it. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. See, like for like, like for like. Each of us should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. We sang that goodness and mercy will follow us, but it's not for us. It's so that wherever we go, wherever we lead it, mercy will be towards someone else. Kindness will be towards someone else. Goodness will be towards someone else. I want to be a shepherd, not a worker. Jesus, as the good shepherd, wants for me, not a wage. Jesus runs toward me. He doesn't run away. Jesus gives himself away freely for me. That's a close in this. The band guys can jump up. That's fine, because we're going to sing. Remember how I said Jesus talks a lot about sheep and shepherds? Well, he actually mentions it again. A great story in the book of Matthew. And it's in Matthew 18, 11 to 14. And I'd like, if we could all stand together, we're going to pray in just a minute, and then we're going to sing again. Thank you. And it says this. Okay. Matthew 18 says this, the Son of Man has come to give life to anyone who is lost. Think of it this way. If a man owns 100 sheep, and one lamb wanders away and is lost, wouldn't he leave the 99 grazing on the hillside and go out and thoroughly search for the one lost lamb? And if he finds his lost lamb, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 who were safe. And if he finds his, now you should understand that it is never the desire of your heavenly Father that a single one of these humble believers should be lost. What a good shepherd. We knew this when me and Han my wife used to lead the youth ministry. At that time it was called 220, a much less cooler name. You guys can start whenever you want. Live Free, it's called now, which is such a great name. Such a good name. Anyway, so it's called 220 because you need 220 volts to restart the human heart, and it was meant to be cool, like boom, boom, whoa, change your life, woo, woo, yes, go on skateboard, you know, that kind of thing. And so we knew this girl, and she had a particularly problematic living situation. She had no dad, she had no mum. She was 16 at the time, I think, going on 17. And she was living with someone who was very abusive emotionally and physically sometimes. And the person she was living with was just in with the wrong crowd, and she had just the wrong influences. And this particular day was pretty horrific for this girl. There'd been a massive argument, and there's two sides to every story. She's a child. The responsibility lies on the adult here, and so they were having an argument, and they just decided, right, get out, go up to your room, pack your bags, you're out. So she's in floods of tears, thinking, I'm homeless. Where do I go? So she picks up the phone, hands on the other end. I'm homeless. I'm going to be kicked out. I have nowhere to go. I have no money. This person had taken a passport, so she had no identity. And so she's real upset. So Han's like, okay, I'm going to do is I'm going to come right now in my car. I'm going to pick you up, and you're going to come stay with us for a few days. And so that's what Han did. She went with her sister, and they went to this girl's house in the middle of this war zone, went upstairs, she's packing her bags in all these bin bags and different bags, and she goes in there, and it's all happening. The people who are kicking this girl out are kicking off at Han and her sister, and Han's just not engaging because obviously it's a very volatile situation, and she's just like, come stay with us for a few days, let things cool down, move back in, sort it out. That was the plan. And so she went in, and this girl was completely on the edge. And so they managed to get all the stuff in the car and get around our house. It was meant to be for 2 weeks. It ended up being for 4 months that this girl was staying in our house. And at that time, we were working with social services, and there was all sorts of stuff with passport issues and all sorts of stuff. And we, at that time, were going through quite a rough a season in our marriage, just as you're dealing with stuff and working through stuff. So it's far easier, call the police, I'll see you on Sunday. Far easier. But instead, she decided, I'm going to go, because it was right at this point, it might not be right every time, but it was right at this point that she was going to go and rescue this girl. And what we saw in that girl's life as she progressed over those few months, she found God more, she was more connected in the church community. She got steadier at college. Now I'm happy to say that, in the end, after those few months, we found someone who was a relative, a great, great lady, who now she still lives with. She's in London. She's part of a church. She's got a full-time job, and she's completely out of that situation. And so what we do as shepherds, we say, I just want for the sheep. God, aren't you so amazing? We didn't really do much. We just let her live around us so that she could get out of that toxic environment. And I think God rejoices over that girl. That my wife would leave her comfy home and go to the front line in order to guide a girl back who's nearly at the end of it all. Come home, sweetheart. Come home. And then pastor about to health. Jesus is the good shepherd. won't he leave the 99 and go and find the one?